It's time to speak out on the original Speak Out Radio Show. Speak Out is a public affairs program that serves you, our listeners, and the community you live in. Speak Out is all about listener participation. So call in anytime during the show. 928-854-5687. That's 854-5687. Speak Out on KNTR Talk is heard on one frequency, 106.3 throughout the tri-state area. You can also listen at KNTRTalk.com and listen anywhere through the TuneIn Radio app. From elected officials, community leaders, small business owners, school district representatives, and charitable causes, Speak Out is here for you on KNTR Talk 106.3. It's time to introduce you to the host of Speak Out. When Norm was out on the casting call, who did Cheers turn to?
The police!
When Mike Tyson became the youngest heavyweight champion in history and no sparring partners could be found, who did the champ turn to?
The police!
Now, this world-renowned barfly slash pugilist has settled behind the microphone once again for your benefit. Ladies and gentlemen, the one and only...
He's only mortal, folks.
Paul LaVoy!
You can knock me down and watch me bleed, but you can't keep no chains on me. I was born free.
And welcome to Speak Out. It is Friday. Finally a Friday. Right, Ron?
It is.
Ron Gould with us on the program, District 5 County Supervisor Ron Gould, and I'm going to just say it right now, future chairman, right?
Yes, and unless something happens between now and next year.
You're kind of in line. You're
it's in the line of succession.
Succession.
Yeah.
Not secession.
Oh.
Yeah, you got to be careful with
unless
that.
Unless, of course, I have a former actress wife that's going to badmouth the royal family, then I would might lose my line of succession.
I think we're safe with Janice.
Okay, that's true. She did give up her supermodel career to raise children, though. But
oh, nice.
I'm kidding.
I had no idea. Let's see, NCAA basketball action. You know, between now and Sunday afternoon, there's like 9 games. And instead of going through all 9 games, they're all posted at KNTRSports.com. So that's 980 AM, 94.3 FM, Lake Havasu City and Kingman, 100.5 in Bullhead City. I will tell you, though, because this is kind of near and dear to this Pac-12 town since we're in ASU City, right, Ron?
Right.
Ron's looking for a phone number, by the way.
No, it's an incredibly long email.
Oh, I see. Anyway,
this is important.
And it pertains to what we're going to talk about. But the Big East semifinal game one is today, 3:45 p.m. And then the two Pac-12 semifinals from Vegas at the T-Mobile Arena, game one and game two, start at 6:15 p.m. Game two is around 9:30 tonight. So the rest of the games, including the Big East Championship, Pac-12 Championship, SEC Championship, and Big Ten Championship, all those times, tip-off times, are at KNTRSports.com. Now, here's something that Ron can definitely get into, because you're probably not much of a March Madness guy, right?
Not really.
March Madness to you is reviewing next year's budget.
Yeah.
So, Parker, Arizona, have you seen this? Sam Scarmaro.
I heard Sam talking about it, though.
Yeah, Sam Scarmaro dropped this off. He left it with me. Parker, Arizona, MV camp out and swap meet, which MV is military vehicle, camp out and swap meet, Thursday through Sunday, coming up next week, March 18th through the 21st. So just after your St. Patrick's Day binge, head on down to Parker, La Paz County Park, 7350 Riverside Drive in Parker, LaPazCountyParks.com. And the event info is Mike Colgan, Colgan7@Cox.net. And his name is spelled C-O-L-G-A-N, Colgan7@Cox.net. And nearby attractions include the Desert Bar. You know, you can't go off-road unless you're going to go to the Desert Bar while you're in Parker.
That's true. That's actually a pretty cool place. I haven't been out there for a couple of years, though.
Even, you know, solar power. We just played out there about a month ago.
He's got a cool tower on that bar,
yes,
which is kind of it's a evaporative cooler with no fan, and it's but the evap cooler sits up on top of a big tower.
Yeah. Yeah, Ken's quite a guy, man.
I have some ideas for improvement on that also, by the way, but
they're doing
never get around to drawing it up.
They're doing a combination of solar generators and storage for electricity. Back 20 years ago when I first played there, there was, you would maybe get 90 volts out of a 110 socket.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, and it was, you know, that's hard on equipment.
Yeah.
It makes it work harder.
Yeah, and if they're using a modified sine wave inverter that makes weird sounds in the amplifier.
Yeah, absolutely. And, man, you're right on it. And now that's all nothing like that now. It's just like a regular, like you're getting it from Unisource or MEC. So the electricity, the supply was great. We played on a very cloudy day, and it was nice. So check out the Desert Bar while you're out there. But anyway, that MV Camp Out and Swap Meet, mentioned that for Sam, again, starts next Thursday. So
cool.
And that's, yeah, like I said,
that's a nice
La Paz
park.
County Park. It is. It
used to be a Yuma County Park when La Paz County, before La Paz County split off of Yuma. It used to be called Avila, I think.
Oh, I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't know. But anyway, we have
you could launch your boats right from the beach, which like from your campsite, which is kind of cool.
That is cool. That's kind of like
They probably don't let you do that anymore.
Davis Camp's like that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Davis Camp's a nice camp.
You can't launch there, but you can drive right up to your campsite.
Yeah.
Yeah, pull your boat right up. 2021 Lake Havasu Stampede PRCA Rodeo tickets will give away I call them family four packs. It's a pack of four, and each ticket is $15. So you do
cool.
the math. That's a pretty good savings. We have one set for Sunday and two sets for Friday, next Friday. So, again, that's at the Sarah Park Rodeo Grounds here in Lake Havasu City. And we'll have Jerry Honeycutt and Bob from Goldspur Productions. And they'll be on the show instead of Brian Springberg next Thursday.
Oh.
So that'll be cool. We'll be talking rodeo.
Sure.
And this guy's got a great rodeo voice, man. He's
the
announcer. Yeah. Bob Edmonds, that's his name. I wanted to talk about is vaccines. Are you ready for that yet?
Yeah. I just got Roger Galloway, the public information officer for the county, just put out a press release. We're going to get 8,000 doses of Moderna vaccine tomorrow. Or next week, rather, and we're going to put on a vaccination event partnering with Safeway here in Lake Havasu. It's going to be up at the Northside Fire Station on Kiowa, Fire Station 2. There's 500 appointments available, all for first shot doses only. And if you want an appointment, there's an incredibly long link here, and you'd probably be better off calling my office in Lake Havasu and getting it from my assistant, Barbara.
They should have it up. Yeah, I see it right here. Yeah, K-ordinator dot blah, blah, blah. Anyway.
Let's see if I do a Travis Lingenfelter and not be able to find my own phone number.
I remember that. I texted you when that happened. It's probably on the county website. They probably have it linked in that COVID section.
Yeah, if you go to MojaveCounty.us and click the COVID banner, mm-hmm. I'm sure it'll direct you to the health department. It'll redirect you to that link. If not, give my office a call.
I got you.
But, a lot of people have been wanting to get vaccinated. And bear in mind, we've never tried to vaccinate the entire country all at once.
Not even with polio?
No. It's over a period of time.
Oh.
No, this is pretty groundbreaking. One, you got a vaccine out within a year. And thanks to President Trump.
I was going to say, thanks, Uncle Joe. You know, right from his basement, he did all that.
Right, so. And just reading it off of the teleprompter.
Give me a break.
With his cloudy eyes in a daze. Anyway.
we digress.
Oh, and my awesome assistant just sent me our phone number, which is handy because I did a worse than Travis Lingenfelter and couldn't even find my own phone number. My Lake Havasu City office is 928-453-0735. 928-453-0735. So if you want that incredibly long link to book an appointment, give Barbara a call.
I'm really hoping right now that you and Travis have a pretty good rapport and he knows you're kidding.
Yeah, I think we're okay.
Just saying. That's like twice you threw him under the bus already about that. But it was.
Well, only because you brought it up
but
the
it
other
was,
day.
It was funny. He's at the, just to put this in context, Travis was on Speak Out 2.0. And at the end of the show, Larry's got maybe 30 seconds. And why don't you give him that number, Travis? And he goes, it's I don't know, 754.
Yeah, he's digging. He's reaching through looking for a card. Digging.
He gives the first two numbers, and then before he can get the last two numbers out, the ID comes up, you know?
Right. He gets cut off and the show's over.
Right.
So
right.
At least he has an excuse because he's only been a supervisor since the tail end of November, but I've been one for a couple of years, so I really don't have an excuse.
Oh, I thought he was in his first 100 days or something. So he's been there, what, 3 months?
Okay. Maybe not that far.
All right.
It's usually like the tail end of November when they actually swear people in.
But the COVID, I guess the county's COVID vaccination rate is going way up.
No,
now.
And he might have got sworn in after the first of the year.
Oh, are we going back to that?
I'm still there. No going back.
The county's vaccination rate, it was really lagging. I think we were 14th out of 15th for a while.
Part of that was the issue with Embry and their interoperability problem between their computer and the state health department's computer. So they weren't getting those numbers up. And that was actually why we had to play hardball with them to get them squared away. And it wasn't just Mojave County playing hardball. It was the other 14 counties also.
Now that
and it's interesting because I was getting some email as if I was using my mighty right hand to, instead of working with them, I was beating them up. And that wasn't even my issue. The health department was already, I got it from a reporter. A reporter over at the Herald calls me up and asks me what's going on. And I didn't even know what was going on. I said, what do you know? He told me what he knew, and I called Denise Burley, our health department director, and confirmed, yeah, they were shutting off Embry until they got their paperwork squared away. But I ended up as the poster child on the newspaper, on the article. So somehow they thought that it was me taking my wrath out on Embry.
Right.
But in reality, we had no vaccine that week anyway, so it was a great week to push the issue. Because we had no vaccine that week, and we weren't getting any the next week because of that snowstorm that was across the central part of the United States. So we had no shots to give, so that was a good time to press it with them and get it squared away. And they got it squared away within 2 days, so it worked out well.
Right, and now we're sitting out, I guess, in a week's time, at least according to the Herald this morning, the news feed that I got, the rate has jumped over 13%.
Sure.
From the low 12s. And we're
the number you
moving
wanna
up with a bullet, as they would say on the Billboard Hot 100.
The
right?
percentage of people of the population that was vaccinated, we're not that far away from Maricopa County, really. It's within 1%.
Mm-hmm.
And that's really the number that you care about, is the number of people of your population that gets vaccinated. Originally, we were not getting 8,000 doses a week.
Oh.
We were getting like 3,000 doses a week. We were supposed to get some Johnson & Johnson, 1,500 doses of Johnson & Johnson this week, and that somehow got shut off. See, it's hard for these outfits to make appointments also when it's sporadic, the number of vaccines that they get.
Well, the other difficult part of the appointment process is that they put you in a canteen to wait. As I have understood, like a waiting area after you get the shot. They want to see if there's any reaction.
Yeah.
So that's part of your appointment time.
Uh-huh. Yeah, they got to see if you keel over.
Yeah,
or
another
something.
15 minutes, so that comes off the grid as well.
Uh-huh.
That's got to be tough.
Yeah, I don't think they're running out of vaccine. It's the shortage of vaccine, not the fact that they're slow at getting it injected into people, I think. It's just the when the vaccine pipeline gets smoothed out, I'm sure it'll all go smoother.
Okay.
And that's the real issue. And we have to, the concern with Embry was if they didn't get their paperwork in, then and the state shuts us off for vaccine, because it's not, we aren't making the vaccine. We're not running our own laboratory. It's coming from Moderna through the federal government, through the state government. So we got to play by their rules. It's with shekels come shackles.
Right. Exactly.
And just speaking of shekels,
and just thank goodness that we don't have those deep freezers that they have to have in Maricopa County.
Yeah.
And Pima. So they have to keep the Pfizer vaccine at a super cold rate, way below freezing, like a cryogenic rate.
Right. Yeah, it was I think it was like 70 below or
minus
something.
Minus 70,
yeah. Yeah, it was minus 70.
I believe so.
Which is pretty cool. I've been in a blast freezer that was minus 90.
Really?
Yeah, it was an ice cream plant.
Oh.
Back when I was going to refrigeration school.
I was
going
to say, did you have to work on it?
No, we just had to go. We were touring it, and the guys that worked in there wore like Arctic parkas, and they could only work a 45-minute shift. So they did 45 minutes in and 45 minutes out. I don't think they got 8 hours of productive time out of a day because it's just so bitterly cold. And that was,
wow.
The whole warehouse was 60 below, and then they had a blast freezer in this hardening room that was 90 below.
My goodness.
But your nose hairs froze instantly. It's the moisture in your breath just froze them. It felt like you had needles inside of your nose.
Oh, my goodness. I don't even know how to respond to that except for minimum wage, just, you know, even at $15
an hour. These guys
were
union guys. They were pulling down a decent wage. It was Lucky's Ice Cream Plant in California.
Wow, that's amazing. All right, Ron Gold is our guest. He's a District 5 County Supervisor. I'm Paul Lavoie. We're going to take a short break. If you have a question for Ron, 854-KNTR, 928-854-5687. We'll be right back. We're back on Speak Out, brought to you in part by Mojave Mortgage, also Bradley Chevrolet and Bradley Ford, GDK CPA LLC, Horizon Community Bank, Springburg McAndrew Financial Services, Patio Paradise, and Connected Computer and Technology. And don't forget, you can stream or check out the show archives at KNTRtalk.com. If you missed anything from yesterday's Speak Out 2.0 show, by the way, it is online, the remote broadcast at our archives at KNTRtalk.com. Just got that one up this morning, and sounded good. Larry Toonforce was on remote yesterday.
Sure, I heard part of that.
Yeah, not too bad. So, speaking of American made, have you seen this flyer, Ron? It's the Kiwanis flyer to show your pride. $40 a year. This is the flag program. On the certain holidays of the year, President's Day, Memorial Day, Flag Day, Independence Day, 9/11 Patriot Day, Veterans Day, and Pearl Harbor Day, you can have a flag that will be set up and retrieved by the Lake Havasu High School Booster Club and the Lake Havasu Kiwanis.
Yeah, that's a great program.
Of which I'm a member.
They come out on all the holidays and put up a flag for you, and then come back and take it down at the end of the day.
I mean, $40.
Sure.
Right? A $40 donation, which now is like, I used to say 20 was a trip to the ATM. Now it's 40 or 60, right? Is a trip to the ATM.
Well, after the $1.9 trillion bailout thing, it'll probably be $100.
Right.
You know, that's just a ridiculous amount of money. $1 trillion is a stack of $1 bills. Gosh, it's 68,000 miles.
I was going to say, how many stories is
it's
that?
It's 68,000 miles. It's a quarter of a way to the moon.
That's insane.
Right. When I was running for Congress back in 12, the national debt was about $15 trillion. Now you're pushing $30 trillion. And it's just I don't even know if there's enough material, if they actually had to make real dollars.
Right.
Which most of this is digital numbers on a ledger sheet.
If you go to my Facebook page, and you haven't seen this yet this morning, my Facebook timeline, there's a story posted about $11 billion of that is federal aid.
Mm-hmm.
So here's the we're borrowing $11
billion. Foreign aid.
Didn't I say that?
No.
What did I say?
Federal.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Foreign aid.
Foreign aid, the other F word. Yeah. So foreign aid.
Right.
So we're borrowing from China to pay other countries. Why can't they just ask for it themselves?
Right.
This is like...
Well, China probably wouldn't give it to them. China would throw strings on it.
This is like me...
Actually.
This is like me, the foreign country, saying, Ron, can you go to the bank and co-sign on a loan with me? And then I stick you with the loan.
Most of these countries are enemies of the United States anyway, so I don't think they're really concerned about our national debt. They would just assume we go away.
Right.
And they're more than happy to take our money. And foreign aid in general is that you take money from a poor people in a rich country and give it to rich people in a poor country.
Okay.
Because it generally does not go to their folks. You take it from us against our will, and then you give it to some potentate or dictator in another country. And that what I always like is the opening scene of Black Hawk Down.
I haven't seen it.
In Somalia.
Yeah.
Here comes the UN rice truck, right? There's a flatbed truck with a bunch of rice. Yeah. So these people are all starving to death, so they all want their rice, right? And here comes the gangsters that work for the warlord. They blaze off a half a magazine out of his AK-47 and says, this rice belongs to Farah, Mohammed Farah Adid, who's the warlord of that area. And they take up all the rice and take off.
Right.
You know, that's foreign aid. That's how that works.
Well, now I know what you and Janice are entertained by in your Netflix time.
Yeah.
So that's great. That's great. Let's see. We can talk about this before the break. I'll just kind of float the break because we can do that.
But before you move on, though, it's interesting. The newspaper's reporting, and we confirm this, that the county is getting $41.9, I believe, million dollars of that bailout money.
What are you going to do with that? What if you don't use it?
We don't really know what the rules are yet. What my preference is would be to reduce the property taxes $41.9 million so that money goes back to the folks that it was taken from. Whether I can prevail in that or not, I don't know.
Yeah, good luck with that.
And whether the strings that there's some the state apparently they wrote that thing so that the states could not reduce their taxes on their portion of it. But I'm not sure what does that apply to the cities and counties, though. But when you think about that amount of money, so our little county here in Arizona, we're going to pull in over $41 million of this bailout money. That's going out per capita. So you could run the math and figure out where that all that money that's going out, plus all the other money, you know, subways for San Jose and all that garbage.
Right.
And it would be bad enough if the federal government had this money in cash, but they don't. It's just more borrowed money, and it's not coming from China. The Federal Reserve, its numbers on a ledger sheet, they have to borrow it into existence. And that effectively devalues everybody else's money, the money in your wallet, the money in your savings account, and the money that you're going to have to pay to buy goods and services in the future. They continue at this rate, they're going to collapse the economy.
I think that might be the goal.
Could be.
Yeah, so that the federal government can just take over your life.
Right.
Yeah.
I've got a mom.
Right.
And she doesn't live in Washington.
Caller, you're live on Speak Out.
I was wondering if Supervisor Gould could let us know when he thinks that the public libraries in Mojave County will be open to normal again, normal hours, normal, you know, desk to sit down at and read papers and buy and sell used books, things like that. Just back to normal. You know when that'll be?
Monday.
Monday?
You're not kidding.
It's on the. It's interesting you should bring this up. It's actually on an agenda item for the Monday meeting, and it's essentially the library would return to normal operation with, I think, some limits on capacity.
Is this as a result of the latest executive order that rescinded all the other orders?
Just that it needs to be done.
Oh, okay.
Because effectively the way the libraries operate now is no computer usage. And if you say you want a children's book, you can go to the children's department where you then ask the librarian station there to get you a book out of the children's department, which really the reason that you go to the library is so you can browse books. You know, that's the fun of going to the library
right.
is looking at stuff. It's not,
right.
you know, you don't go, I'm going to get a copy of War and Peace. You know, you're looking around seeing what's there. This might be interesting. No, this
right.
is more interesting. I'm grabbing this one. And the taxpayers pay for this service. They're paying
that's right.
and not being able to use the service effectively now. And I'm assuming
right.
that I'm assuming that this will pass just because we've got at least three votes to undo most of the stuff that we've done now.
Do you know who put that on the agenda for Monday?
It was Angus's agenda item.
Yeah, I called her last week and on her radio show and talked to her.
Oh, okay.
So I'm glad that she and you and hopefully the third one there, it would probably be 3-2 or...
Yeah, I don't know. Bad. It might be unanimous. We've had a couple of unanimous ones on unraveling the stuff.
Oh, great, great. So things are slowly getting back to normal in your view in Mojave County?
Yeah, we need to get back to normal. We can't play this game anymore. You know, the virus has been terrible on some people and caused quite a few deaths, but we can't We can't live under the thumb of the mask police forever. You know, we need to get back to normal.
Don't we normally, in the course of events through lifetimes here in the country, don't we normally try to shield our more vulnerable people from flus and viruses and contagious things as best we can?
Sure.
Yeah, but there's also a personal responsibility that we all have to protect ourselves.
Well, you wash your hands and
right.
Don't breathe in someone's face, you know, a foot from their face, you know, things like that.
Well, it was interesting. Back in February, I had a health department made up a chart for me that said that we had 150 cases, reported cases of flu. And then they, you know, that was about the time to wash your hands, cover your sneeze, that kind of stuff.
That's all they could tell us.
That started
all these people with PhDs, how to wash my hands.
But wait a minute. In another 30 days, you went from 150 cases of flu to one reported case of flu. These are just, that means you had the flu bad enough you went to the doctor, you know, that it got reported.
Correct.
But so apparently some folks weren't washing their hands.
All right, caller, we got to go to break. So did you
have anything else? Supervisor Gould, thank you.
Oh, you're welcome.
All right, perfect. You ready to go to break?
Sure.
All right. I just, we always give the caller their say because the show is dedicated to the listener.
Sure.
As you know, for the last 20,
it is a call-in show.
20-something years. Right, and thanks for making it talk radio, not just listen radio. I don't know if you know this, Ron, because you and I are both Arizonans, but there's a time change this weekend.
What?
In California. California and Nevada.
Dennis Prager yesterday said, apparently he's not a fan of daylight savings time, and he said, if I had to do it, I would do it like Arizona.
Nice. Nice. Well, there you go. Thanks, Prager. Anyway, the time changes in Arizona, Nevada, California will all be on the same time. But that means our programming moves as well. So Speak Out 2.0 will go to 10 o'clock starting on Monday. That'll be my warm-up act.
There you go.
There you go. All right, Speak Out will return in just a moment. I'm Paul Lavoy. I still have those rodeo tickets. If you want to call in, first caller gets a choice of Friday or Sunday for a four-pack of rodeo tickets. And it's the Lake Havasu Stampede PRCA Rodeo. So myself and Ron Gould will be back in just a moment. Stay with us. We'll fight when you rattle his cage. And you'll be sorry that you mess with the U.S. of A. Because we'll put a boot in your ass. It's the American way. Tell Uncle Sam, put your name at the top of his list. And a statue of liberty started shaking her face. And that's Ron's favorite part of the song.
It is.
Favorite part of coming in every month.
Yeah.
Pretty much, right?
It is.
Speak Out brought to you in part by Mojave Community College, Shagru's Family of Restaurants, Better Business Bureau, SamsGuns.com, SunPower by Esme Electric, Big Sky Insurance, Herb's Herbs, and the Lewis team at Coldwell Banker Realty. And if this doesn't impress you, nothing will, Ron. Over 1,000 homes sold and counting.
Jackpot. Yeah, they said...
I always say Yahtzee.
There you go.
That's good. That's good.
They were saying in the newspaper that commissions were down for realtors. So it must be the total sales must be down. It's just stuff is selling so fast.
Or the brokers are making out.
Yeah, I don't think it's that. And it also talked about states that people are moving to. And you could tell the loser states were New York, Illinois, California, and Florida, which I thought was odd.
Now, I want to remind people we're talking to District 5 County Supervisor Ron Gould, and you can call in, ask Ron a question, like we just had a phone call. Great phone call. 854-5687-928-854-KNTR. And, you know, I heard a story on Fox News Radio, and I can't verify it, that we heard about this mass exodus.
So we should mail it out to thousands of people then on the internet.
No, seriously. We heard about this. Yeah, right. We heard about this exodus of people from California, coming from California.
Yeah.
And Havasu can kind of prove that. Not that it's a huge, you know, I'm just saying the story from Fox said that most of those people moving in California were moving inside the state from urban areas to rural areas.
That makes sense, too.
It makes sense, but it doesn't. because we know for a fact they're moving here, they're moving to Texas, they're moving to other places. So I don't know. I don't know
it
how to verify
it. It just depends on
that.
If somebody's just going seat of the pants or they actually doing a study to see where people are tracking where people are moving
to.
Yeah,
it made me think it came from the governor's office, though.
Yeah.
I just didn't trust it.
And that's Gavin Newsom, so.
Yeah, exactly. Doesn't that sound like something he would do? Caller, you're live on Speak Out.
Hi, Ron. This is Kenny in Yucca.
What's up, Kenny?
The Transportation Commission has in its bylaws it shall meet at the library in Havasu one time per year and at the library in Bullhead one time per year. And I was just wondering, there's no county roads in either city per se. There's just a couple. I was just wondering what it would take to change those bylaws so that if we're going to have meetings in other places, they would be places where county roads actually exist. I'll listen off the air for your answer. Thank you.
Thank you, Kenny.
The issue is probably having a facility to meet in.
Okay.
You know, because theoretically the public is supposed to can attend the Transportation Committee meetings. So that might be the issue, is we're using county facilities, and the county facilities are the libraries that are in those incorporated cities. But that would be a good idea, because like Kenny said, most of the county roads are out in the unincorporated areas of the county. But a lot of them you don't have the facilities to hold a meeting in.
So Kenny brings up an interesting point, though. This is kind of a sidebar off of that. The county supervisors were rotating cities for a while.
Yeah, we could do
that. Are you going back to that?
Well, we'll have to vote to go back to that. We suspended that when the COVID thing broke out because at that time the city councils weren't even meeting in person. And so we didn't feel they were going to let us hold meetings in person in their facility that they weren't even meeting in.
I understand.
So we went ahead and suspended that because we continued to meet in person. We could call it in.
Right.
And we were having two meetings a week when the COVID thing first took off because nobody knew what the heck was going on.
Right, right, right.
But
and then you were getting the updates from Denise Burley,
uh-huh.
And then you were getting sometimes press conferences.
Yeah, you had Roger got baptized with fire on that one.
Well, he sure did.
But he did a great job with that.
It was right after Dave Hawkins left.
Yeah, so yeah.
You think Roger brought the problem to the county, if you think about it, right?
Yeah. Dang, Roger.
He's probably listening, so that's why I threw that out there.
Yeah, but it was within a week or two of Roger coming to work, it seemed like. And he did a good job because he had press conferences with the hospital administrators. And
all four CEOs. Talk about coordination.
Yeah, and he had call-in people. You could call in that press and some other people that were calling into the meetings and whatnot.
So one of the kind of,
but we'll go back. We'll probably, as long as we can get the votes to do it, we'll go back to doing it.
One of the hot items lately,
I think Kingman still is still virtually meeting.
I'm just trying to move on. Anyway, yeah, Kingman is virtually meeting, but they
we never met in their facility anyway because we have our own facility in Kingman.
Kingman had a huge data breach.
Yeah, and that's just nuts. So they pretty much, you know, knocked out the operation of government,
right.
At least the paperwork operation of government for the most part.
So are you keeping track of the recall effort at all on Mayor Miles?
Just the fact that they made the signatures.
There's a new challenge to those signatures from a legal team.
Oh, yeah?
But the people who have gathered the signatures, there's some odd claims there, like petitions were left in offices to be signed, unverified, you know, that sort of claim. And my thought is that the people who filed the challenge, it's an independent group. And not only that, they put Mayor Miles as a defendant, which is very weird. So, but the people that filed the challenge, it makes me think that they did it so that the people that got the signatures would have to lawyer up.
Could be, but,
if they don't show up in court, what happens?
Right. And they'll probably have to hire counsel to do that.
Exactly.
You don't see that as much in Lake Havasu as you do in Bullhead and Kingman. In Bullhead, or Kingman especially, a lot of people that live in Kingman don't really live in city limits.
That's correct.
They live outside of city limits. So say you're gathering signatures at Walmart or something like that, and so you'll ask them, do you live in Kingman? And they'll say, sure, and then they go ahead and sign. And So a lot of those aren't really people that live inside city limits, but they had, I believe, a couple hundred extra verified signatures above the amount that they needed.
Oh, they did. They did. And
then you also had there was a recall petition against Gene Bishop, and that one just kind of came, and the deadline came and went. So that apparently they, I don't know why, they either didn't gather signatures or they chose not to turn the signatures
in. I know whose group did that, so anyway.
And there was a recall.
There was a recall from Steve Robinson on the mayor as well, and that one fell way short.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You got to do the work if you want to do that kind of stuff.
Yeah, exactly.
Was it Peach Springs or Hackberry School District had a recall, and they had a recall election. Mm-hmm. And actually, I got to find the results. We're supposed to canvass that on Monday, and it's like I need to see some results. I don't just automatically canvass stuff.
Yeah, sure. So the kind of the disturbing news, we're talking about data breaches for the city of Kingman.
Sure.
Now you have an ID theft type situation with unemployment benefits from county employees.
Well, what's happened is...
But this is an ID theft, isn't it?
Theoretically, it is.
Right.
What's happened is, so you made those unemployment benefits so rich that you've motivated people to fill out false claims. So what happens is somebody files a claim with a DES, you know, the Economic Security.
Yep.
They go ahead and pay out that claim, and before they wait for verification from the county that those are actually our employees that got laid off. So some of them were former employees, and some of them were current employees, and somehow they got a hold of their information to make that claim. Our beef, we're concerned about our employees, their identity getting stolen. And two, we're concerned that the state doesn't give us an opportunity to tell them whether or not that's even a county employee. Some of them they claim were employees, but they didn't have the right information.
Yeah.
But they're not giving us the opportunity to verify those. They're just going ahead and paying the claim and then expecting us to write them a check. And we're just not about writing you a check.
Yeah,
if you don't give us the opportunity to contest that.
This is a real problem. I'll put it in perspective. I know somebody who lives in Bullhead City who worked in a casino.
Uh-huh.
When the casinos closed and went dark in the early days of the pandemic, this person filed for unemployment. Then was told, oh, somebody in Florida is using your Social Security number to already file for benefits. And they gave that person the benefits.
Huh.
So once they cleared their name, they got the benefits and all that. But what a mess.
Yeah, when you have something... And that's the thing with crime, is when you make it when there's an issue that's lucrative enough that somebody can make decent money doing that, then people are apt to do that. It's similar to prohibition on alcohol, and then you're going to see that with legalized marijuana also, because if the taxes are so high on the marijuana that if people can make money, you know, bootlegging, running, or not collecting the tax, they're going to do that. You see it on cigarettes, too. You know, the cigarette tax is ridiculous.
It makes you wonder why interstate banking laws have not been changed for marijuana yet. This industry, when did Colorado legalize marijuana?
5 years ago, I think, at least.
Why hasn't this been changed? There is so much unaccounted...
Because it's still illegal federally.
I understand that. But if you made it legal, wouldn't it make the money more accountable in that industry? It's a cash business right now.
Right, right.
You ever run a cash business?
Right.
I'm just saying, you know, this is money there's a lot of money here that's probably unaccounted for.
Could be.
And maybe the industry doesn't want to be, you know, doesn't want interstate banking.
Yeah, could be. Maybe they want to stay on a cash basis.
You think? I would.
Right.
Why not? Let's talk about the county fairground situation. That one popped up on my radar. I thought, wow, that's weird. How do you miss a reporting period?
Yeah.
They had a period where they're supposed to report. Am I right?
Yeah, that's part of the deal. We don't charge them for that. We essentially give the use of the county fairgrounds to a group.
They being the county fairgrounds.
Friends of the fairgrounds or whatever the name of it is.
You.
Friends of Mojave County Fair. Mm-hmm. So we effectively give them our facility to manage our facility for the best use of the public. And there's some conditions on that. And one of them is reporting. And they didn't bother to report. You know, and the manager just said, I asked him, so why'd you miss your report?
I forgot.
He said I was busy.
Oh, okay.
I was probably out riding a tractor mowing weeds or something. It's like, that's not an acceptable answer.
At least he didn't say the dog ate the report.
Yeah, and we're giving you a multi-million dollar facility. You know, admittedly, it's not the shiniest and brightest facility known to man, but that's our facility.
Now, is that a nonprofit group?
Yeah, I believe so.
You're kidding, and they're missing reports?
Yeah, that's I believe it's nonprofit. I wouldn't swear to it, but
I believe you're right though.
But and they've, you know, like everybody else in that kind of business, they've had a tough year. But still, you got to file your reports, and it's not like we're asking for, you know, it's not, you know, the IRS. We're asking for your sales report so we know what you're doing.
Who's the president and CEO of that, or who runs the? I can't remember his name.
Tim
something.
Yeah, he's the manager.
Wasn't he kind of hired under questionable circumstances anyway?
I have no idea.
I thought he was named.
There were some issues with the group, but that's.
Yes.
You often have that with groups. You'll have a group, and then you have the we're upset with the group. You know, that happens quite a bit. You know, the dissidents, they're angry at the management of the group. You see that quite often.
But okay, let me lay this out like a timeline, okay? The pandemic hits, the fairgrounds are not being used for anything, and you're missing reporting.
Yeah, you should have plenty of time to fill out a report.
Thank you.
They laid off everybody, I believe. All the workers got laid off.
Right. I mean, it's not rocket science,
right.
Is it?
It's just part of the deal. You just got
to
do it.
It's just fairground science. All right, we have a couple minutes left. Let's go to the phones. Caller, you're live on Speak Out.
Mr. Woods was running against Travis Lingenfelter for the District 1 supervisor spot.
Tim Woods. You're right, Kenny.
Yeah, they had quite a few candidates in that race.
Maybe that's why he missed the report.
Yeah, and he's a likable guy. He's a likable guy and everything, but you got to fill your reports out. And it's not like I'm Captain Paperwork, you know. Ask my assistant how often I turn in my gas receipts, but you still got to do it.
Captain Paperwork, I love it.
Or ask my wife more so.
Right.
But
you run a business, right. And serve time with the county, or what is it? Donate your time for the county. You don't
I get paid. Yeah, they pay me a salary.
I'm just saying you're a public servant for the county.
Yeah, it's not like the legislature. Where
I always thought
legislature is a labor of love because you don't make enough money to you're doing good if you break even.
Kenny, I'm sorry. It's your phone call. Did you have anything else?
Well, yes. Gary Watson supported Mr. Woods in his run for the spot. I just wanted to let you know that he's not just some fly-by-night guy. He had some serious support there. I'll listen off the air. Thank you.
Thanks, Kenny. Yeah, interesting. And I always thought, you know, getting back to the public servant comment, I always thought this kind of interesting. Doesn't a servant kind of work for, you know, minimum wage?
It depends on the
servant.
The year.
Well, if you're Arthur's butler, then no.
Right.
but no, I always just thought public servant was, isn't that kind of going back to the days?
I never call myself a public servant.
I worked for
the folks.
I
know?
Use the term, but like when I worked back in college for the EPA, federal employees were known to make quite a bit less than the private sector.
Oh, yeah.
But now they make quite a bit more, so I don't think they're public servants anymore.
No, I intend to agree.
Yeah, thank you. All right, that's all I meant. Is there anything you
always
want to add?
I always kept my business because the voters could turn me out at any election, and I need something else to do. So,
anything you wanted to add? You have any announcements? Anything special?
No, other than we just found out we got 800 more doses of vaccine.
Yeah.
That was a presser that just came out.
We don't know where, but.
Yeah, it came from some other county that couldn't use them.
Oh.
Which is interesting, so.
Well, at least they didn't come from Germany or something, right?
Who knows?
Or Russia.
God, this stuff might come from China.
Remember when Putin made the announcement about the vaccine?
Yeah.
Yeah, and I tried it in my daughter. Oh, great. That's kind of scary.
So did the guy with the polio vaccine.
Yeah, right. Did he?
Yeah.
Oh, you were being serious.
I was being serious.
We'll see you next month, Ron. Have a happy Easter if we don't see you.
You too, Paul.
All right, and we'll have Pastor Chad in here on Good Friday.
Oh, cool.
So that'll be great.
Yeah.
Chad Garrison. All right, back with more in a moment. We'll have a final shot. And our guest, again, has been District 5 County Supervisor Ron Gould. I'm Paul Lavoie. We'll be back with more in a moment. Stay with us on Speak Out.
See your homeland under fire and her people blown away. Have you forgotten?
All right, we're back on Speak Out. I'm Paul Lavoie, and Speak Out 2.0 is coming up next. I do not have a guest written down in front of me for Larry's show, but he will be here after news and a short break. Our guest on Monday will have Chief Pete Palafis from the Lake Havasu City Fire Department, and Troy Sterling's going to come in. So that'll be a great show. We'll have our First Responders Hour on Monday. We'll see you then, still at 11 o'clock, and tune in on Monday.